Good afternoon. Welcome everybody here and online. The mental health pandemic and its impact on lifestyle, an analysis into the effect of mental health conditions and on diabetes. Very good. So our three speakers, all online. Claudia, welcome. She's a healthcare actuary leading the population health management analytics at Discovery Health. After completing her actuarial degree in University of Cape Town in 2017, she did her exams and became a healthcare actuary in 2021. Focus lies on healthcare analytics, particularly within the disease management space, where she has presented at the International Diabetes Federation on diabetes outcome-based initiatives. She's dedicated to leveraging data insight to improve healthcare outcomes. Second speaker is Catherine. Welcome. She's an actuarial analyst at the Risk Intelligence Team at Discovery Health. She's been there since January 2022. She has done all her actuarial exams, including actuarial degree. And more importantly, she's been involved in various healthcare analytical projects within the team with a focus on mental health conditions where she's developed a keen interest. Very important subject. Lara, welcome. Lara Weyburn is a senior actuary in the Risk Intelligence Team at Discovery Health. She's held actuarial leadership roles previously at different companies, and she was also once at Deloitte, where she was appointed as an associate director before the age of 30. And despite all, she has amazing academic and education background, so I won't read all of that. She is a mum of four kids and passionate about applying actuarial thinking to influence the development of sustainable healthcare outcomes for the current and next generations. It's a really good topic. So I'll leave it to you guys, and then we'll head into some questions after the presentations.
Great. Thank you so much for the introductions, and thank you for the opportunity to present to you all today at the All Actuaries Summit. We're quite excited to share our work with you on the mental illness pandemic that we are seeing, and in particular, its impact on lifestyle. And we've chosen to go quite deeply into the effect of mental illness on diabetic lives. We hope our talk today demonstrates the power of using data to better understand health challenges and explore ways to address these challenges. We've chosen to focus on mental illness, given that we are seeing a significant rise in the prevalence of mental illness, particularly among teens and young adults. And we focused specifically on those with chronic conditions and how they might be impacted by mental illness. We hope that this ultimately paves the way to find better ways to continue to equip our chronic lives and those suffering from mental illness with access to appropriate care. In terms of an agenda for the presentation, we will go into some detail in the private health insurance market in South Africa, just to give you some context as to how it works and why this work is so important. Claudia will then speak about mental illness prevalence and incidence trends that we are seeing among the Discovery Health Medical Scheme membership. So all the analysis is based on this group of individuals, and then looking at the cost impact of mental illness. And finally, Catherine will get into the data science aspect of the presentation, where we model the impact of mental illness and explore the impact on healthcare outcomes for those with and without mental illness. By way of background, the Discovery Health Medical Scheme, for which we will share the data here, is part of the private health insurance market in South Africa. Discovery Health Medical Scheme is the largest commercial scheme. Essentially, it's a private health insurer, and it's administered by a company called Discovery Health, which we work for as an administrator and managed care organization. In South Africa, all medical schemes are required to operate under specific legislation, and that really shapes the nature of the risk that these schemes take and how we manage the risk. So firstly, it's open enrollment, where everybody is guaranteed cover as long as they can pay the premium. There's limited underwriting, and very importantly, there's community rating, which means that everybody pays the same rate regardless of their age or health status. In addition to this, the funds are required to cover over 300 prescribed minimum benefits, and these must be covered in full. So given that mental health is a prescribed minimum benefit, and in particular major depression, as well as some other mental illness conditions, we explore this against that backdrop. In the next slide, we show how the aging of the scheme is taking place over time. As the scheme ages, the cost of cover goes up as older and sicker lives tend to claim more. Compared to the general South African population, you can see that the Discovery Health Medical Scheme population carries an older subset of that population. And obviously, as that population is older, on the right, the cost impact is more significant. A very important trend that's emerging from our data is that we're seeing the increase in chronic prevalence, as shown on the right, occur yearly and at every single age. The hump among the young lives is really quite evident of the impact of mental health and is another reason why we are exploring this in detail today. So the cost of these chronic lives will directly impact the community rate that the schemes are able to charge. So there's a direct cost implication of an increase in chronic prevalence profile, as well as obviously the health of our members being of primary concern. In the next slide, we show the increase in chronic prevalence year on year, and you can see that in 2013, so about 10 years ago, almost one in three members had a chronic condition, while in 2023, it's now, in 2013, it was one in five lives. In 2023, it's now almost one in three lives have a chronic condition. So it's increased quite significantly. And alongside that increase in the chronic prevalence, we're seeing that the average number of chronic conditions that each member has is increasing to almost two on average. So there's very much a trend of multimorbidity taking place. And that's driven by non-communicable diseases, primarily diabetes, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia. We've termed the quadruple burden of disease that the scheme is experiencing as the four horsemen. And here we've included oncology as a major cost driver. So oncology lives are around 3% of our membership. However, they account for a significant share of cost. But you can see in the top left that mental illness accounts for 14% of our membership, diabetes 5%, and cardiovascular as much as 19%. The Venn diagram also shows the overlap of these conditions. And as you can see, those with more than one condition are in the middle, and as we'll see shortly, we're interested in the rate of increase of these overlaps as well as the cost impact of these overlaps. So on the next slide, we see that for the relative costs of these lives, if we just take each life and compare it to an average scheme life, the costs of a life with mental illness, for example, is two times higher than the average cost, while for a diabetic life, it's on average 3.5 times higher. And what's evident in this diagram here is that where there are overlaps, the cost relativity certainly does increase. So we see that lives with mental health, for example, and diabetes and cardiovascular conditions are 4.1 times more expensive than the average life. And this together with the next view, which shows the increase in the number of our members with multimorbidity, really takes us into the rest of the presentation, where we explore both the cost effect of this multimorbidity, as well as the growth that we are seeing in the scheme and how this directly translates into the impact on health outcomes. So I'll hand over to Claudia, who will take us through the mental health detail. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Now that we've discussed the increasing chronic burden of disease on our membership profile, the next section I will take you through delves into the rising rates of mental illness, exploring which cohorts are most impacted by this condition, and unpacking the impact of mental illness on healthcare costs and outcomes. We have defined our mental illness population as those either claiming for benefits with a confirmed diagnosis of mental illness or those registered for a mental health condition. In the context of a medical scheme environment, a registration refers to a specific process where individuals with chronic or long-term health conditions can formally register these conditions with their insurer. This registration then allows them to receive ongoing care, treatment, and support tailored to managing their condition effectively. The first graph shows the prevalence of mental illness in Discovery Health Medical Scheme members from 2013 to 2022, as well as the split of prevalence by first mental illness acquired. We see that mental illness prevalence is on the rise, increasing at a rate of about 4% per annum, and in 2022 sitting at about 13.5% compared to 9.3% in 2013. In 2022, depression was a top psychiatric condition ranked by number of claimants, then followed by bipolar. Of the mental illness population, about 60% of labs have depression, and this prevalence of depression has been growing at a rate of about 6% per annum. Here we have illustrated the trend in mental illness prevalence by age over time. The lighter blue lines represent past years and the darker blue lines representing more recent years. Our main findings from this graph is that overall, the prevalence of mental illness has increased over time and across all ages. Most notably, the prevalence of mental illness amongst young adults has more than doubled since 2012. 1 in 6 young adults aged about 18 to 24 have a mental health condition in Discovery Health membership base in 2022, compared to about 1 in 14 in 2012. Now shifting our focus from prevalence to incidence, which represents the number of new diagnoses of mental illness in any given year. On the left graph, we see that the incidence of mental health conditions is on the rise, with nearly 2% of members without mental health conditions newly registering in 2022, and this is growing at a rate of 14% annually. Notably, there was a significant spike in 2020 associated with the COVID-19 pandemic, and this trend has continued into 2022, suggesting a sustained increase in mental health incidents. The right graph displays the number of new mental illness cases by age group, with darker lines representing more recent years. We observe the most significant increases in incidence rates amongst teenagers and young adults, and the highest increases for those age groups in more recent years. We've also identified a series of key demographic factors influencing mental illness prevalence. Mental illness is 1.5 times higher amongst females compared to males, and the rate of growth of this prevalence is faster for females compared to males over time. Individuals from single-person households, a family size of 1, experience higher mental illness prevalence compared to other family sizes, with this cohort also showing the highest annual growth rate at 5%, followed by family sizes of 2 individuals. There's a strong link between smaller family sizes and young adults. Therefore, these results tie back to the age impact on mental illness prevalence. We've also seen that children who have either one or both parents with depression are significantly more likely to experience depression themselves, with a prevalence rate of 9% compared to 1% amongst children without parental depression, indicating an 8-fold increased risk. Looking at the overlap of other chronic conditions and mental illness, we see the prevalence of mental illness amongst our chronic diagnosed population is consistently increasing year on year. Mental illness is also more prevalent amongst chronic labs compared to non-chronic labs, where 17% of chronic labs have a mental illness compared to 12% of non-chronic labs. We also see from the middle graph that as the number of chronic conditions a member has increases, so too does their mental illness prevalence. The question we set out to answer was, for lives who have both mental illness and another chronic condition, which condition comes first, the mental illness or the other chronic condition? The squares on the right show that for lives that had both mental illness and one other condition, the slight majority of lives in our cohort study, about 52%, had the other chronic condition diagnosed first and the mental illness diagnosed subsequently. The bar graph shows the age distribution of these lives, showing that whether you are diagnosed with mental illness or another chronic condition first appears to be influenced by your age profile. We see that younger lives are diagnosed with a mental illness first, and older lives are diagnosed with another condition first, and then subsequently with a mental illness. From the increasing trend of mental illness prevalence and the overlap with other chronic conditions, we then set out to understand the cost impact of mental illness on chronic lives compared to non-chronic lives. We see that after adjusting for age, sex, and health insurance plan option, lives with a chronic condition and without mental illness cost 2.5 times more than a healthy member. When adding mental illness, the cost impact of these members increases to 3.8 times higher than the cost of a healthy member. This shows that mental illness has a multiplicative impact on healthcare costs for existing chronic lives. Similarly, we see that compared to a healthy life, the chronic lives without a mental illness have 2.1 times higher hospitalization rates. When adding mental illness to a member's burden of disease, these hospitalization rates increase to 3.5 times higher than that of a healthy life. These cost impacts can also be analyzed at a condition level. After adjusting for age, sex, and health insurance plan option, we see diabetics with a mental illness cost 1.4 times more than a diabetic without a mental illness. And we also see for cardiac lives with a mental illness cost 1.4 times more than cardiac lives without a mental illness. I'll now hand over to Catherine to take us through the last section.
Thanks, Claudia. So we'd now like to highlight the results of some data analytics, statistical and causal modeling on lives that have both a mental illness and have diabetes. We wanted to really unpack the interactions between these two conditions and the implications of having a mental illness on healthcare outcomes. So for this case study, we focused, as highlighted on the slide and as Laura alluded to earlier, on the cohort of 23,000 lives with a mental illness and diabetes, because out of these four horsemen conditions that we've shown, diabetics with a mental illness are the segment with the fastest growing healthcare spend over the period. Lives on Discovery Health Medical Scheme who are diagnosed with either diabetes or a mental illness also have access to disease management programs for the management of these conditions. So when unpacking the trends in these two conditions further, it's clear that the prevalence of both mental illness and of diabetes has been increasing over time. About 14% of our insured lives have a mental illness, and about 5% have diabetes. And then when we overlay these two trends to unpack the prevalence of mental illness within the diabetic population, as we show on the left graph, we see that in 2023, about 1 in 6 diabetics had a mental illness, and that the prevalence of mental illness amongst diabetics has really been growing steadily over time at about 10% each year, with majority of these lives being diagnosed with depression. Around 18% of diabetics have a mental illness, compared to only 15% of non-diabetics, which highlights the burden of mental illness within the diabetic population. We then unpack the interaction between the level of severity of someone's diabetes diagnosis and the associated mental illness prevalence. To do this, we used the Truven Health Analytics disease stage classification to segment diabetic lives according to the severity of their diabetes diagnosis. And we found that those with more severe diabetes, for example, when this condition involves systemic complications or when it involves multiple sites, that is associated with a higher prevalence of mental illness. as diabetics have more chronic conditions, as you can see in the middle graph, so the prevalence of mental illness increases within this cohort. As this population has both diabetes and a mental illness, we wanted to unpack how the severity of their mental illness is possibly impacted by their diabetes diagnosis. To do this, we used data from PHQ-9 questionnaires, and these provide a metric for the severity of someone's depression levels. And from this, we found that after adjusting for age and for sex, diabetics have a 1.5 times higher PHQ-9 score on average than non-diabetics. And this implies that mental illness severity is 50% higher in the diabetic population than in the non-diabetic population. So after these data analytics, we then wanted to add a statistical lens to our case study to answer some more key questions, including how much more likely is a diabetic with a mental illness to be admitted into hospital compared to a diabetic without a mental illness? Due to differences in healthcare claims like changing by age, it was very important for us to risk adjust these results by factors such as age, gender, and other chronic condition registrations. We also wanted to include measures of both cost and quality related to the healthcare outcomes of this diabetic population with mental illness. And so to do this and to answer this question, we used a logistic regression model, adjusted for various risk factors that I mentioned, including age, sex, the level of richness of their health insurance plan, and other chronic condition registrations, as you can see, hypercholesterolemia, and oncology, to name a few. And after this, we identified the differences in the likelihood of certain outcomes in the diabetic population, comparing diabetics with versus without mental illness. And we added likelihood ratios and confidence intervals to these results. We wanted to provide a holistic comparison of outcomes, encompassing both healthcare cost and quality. So the first gray bar on the left represents a diabetic without mental illness as a baseline, and the remaining bars represent the healthcare outcomes of a diabetic with mental illness. And these relativities indicate that a diabetic with mental illness is 48% more likely to be hospitalized, 14% more likely to be hospitalized specifically for their diabetes, 41% more likely to be hospitalized for their diabetes and then stay in hospital for an extended period of time, 9% more likely to be admitted into hospital for a preventable hospitalization, 45% more likely to be admitted in hospital for a particularly expensive hospitalization, have a 22% higher likelihood of mortality, and are 7% less likely, which is very important, to be adherent to their diabetic medication when they have a mental illness compared to when they don't. These results really highlight and foreground that mental illness impacts not only overall healthcare outcomes, but also diabetes-specific healthcare outcomes of this population. So lives that are a part of Discovery Health Medical Scheme that are diagnosed with diabetes have access to a disease management program, which is called Diabetes Care. And this aims to offer those that are living with diabetes optimal levels of cover so that they can actively manage their diabetes condition. This gives them access to a really comprehensive set of benefits over and above the standard treatment basket for diabetics on the scheme. And this includes additional consultations, nutrition and biokineticist consults, as well as extra glucose strips. Members on the mental health care program also have access to a holistic set of benefits that we keep enhancing year on year, which includes additional psychotherapy and antidepressants. So these members are provided with various tools to monitor and manage their condition and to ensure high quality, coordinated care and healthcare outcomes. So when unpacking the impact of these disease management programs on this population that has both diabetes and a mental illness, using the same modeling approach and risk adjustment factors as before, we concluded that a diabetic with a mental illness has an 11% lower likelihood of hospitalization and a 15% lower likelihood of a high cost in hospitalization, and a 30% lower likelihood of mortality when they are enrolled on one of these care programs compared to when they are not. This importantly highlights the benefits of disease management programs such as these for lives with existing chronic conditions and with a mental illness. Lives and Discovery Health Medical Scheme can also join our wellness program, which is called Vitality. And Vitality is designed to help keep you on the right track towards good health through a reward system that is triggered when you make healthy choices. Vitality really encourages behavior change because it incentivizes those participating to be physically active, to make healthier food choices, and to go for regular screening. And then if they do this, they can then be rewarded, which encourages a virtuous cycle for clients, the insurer, and for society. And so in the same vein of this previous analysis, we found that a diabetic with a mental illness who is enrolled on Vitality has a 5% lower likelihood of having a very costly admission and a 6% lower likelihood of being hospitalized when they're on Vitality compared to when they're not. And once again, this speaks to the positive impact of wellness programs such as Vitality on lives that have a mental illness and other chronic conditions. So in the previous few slides, we illustrated the correlation or the clear correlation between a diabetic having a mental illness and having poorer healthcare outcomes. And now we wanted to extend this into a study into the causative link between mental illness and poorer healthcare outcomes. So we posed the question, what is the causative impact of a diabetic developing a mental health condition on healthcare claims or on healthcare claims in hospital? To answer this, we used a causal forest model on diabetic lives that adjusts for various independent and dependent variables and confounding factors to conclude that change in total healthcare claims was caused by the sole effect of having a mental illness and not by other confounding factors. Our results indicated that for our diabetic population who are currently without a mental illness, if they were to develop one, this would result in an 11% increase in in-hospital claims within the next 12 months, a 7% increase in total claims, and very importantly, a 4% increase in costs that are not related to the mental illness itself. The advantage of this sort of causal modeling, as I've highlighted on the right pane, is that it allows us to see which cohorts have a greater cost impact. So, for example, in this case, we can see that a diabetic developing a mental illness, this cost impact would be higher for those that have existing cardiac conditions, higher amongst male diabetics, and higher amongst type 1 diabetics. Also, when breaking down this extra cost impact of having a mental illness, we see by the graph on the bottom that the cost impact of getting a mental illness is higher for more severe diabetics, using that same disease stage classification. This importantly highlights that developing a mental illness impacts not only claims for the mental illness itself, but claims for other conditions that were impacted by that same mental illness. So in summary, Laura, Claudia, and myself have highlighted that the prevalence of mental illness in Discovery Health Medical Scheme, South Africa's largest commercial health insurance pool, is definitely on the rise, coupled with an increase in chronic prevalence. We've shown that females, single members, and those with existing chronic conditions have a higher prevalence of mental illness, and that there's been a marked increase of mental illness prevalence in young adults in recent years. The burden of mental illness has an impact on healthcare costs, as Claudia showed, particularly for existing chronic lives. The modeling results from our case study on diabetics with mental illness indicated that a diabetic with a mental health condition is less likely to be adherent to their diabetic medicine and has poorer in-hospital outcomes. Diabetics living with a mental illness who are enrolled on a disease management program or wellness programs such as Vitality have better in-hospital outcomes than if they were not enrolled. In conclusion, it's really essential for insurers to consider the impact of mental illness on chronic lives, as well as prevention and treatment approaches in their benefit design and pricing strategies. Thank you to Discovery Health and to the Actuaries Institute for this opportunity. And over to you, Chair.
Thank you. Let's have a look at some questions. All right, I've got a question from Matt. You note a higher prevalence of MH conditions in females, but we often see that suicide rates are higher in males. Is it possible that there's a reporting issue with males less likely to admit they have a concern?
I don't mind.
Who wants to take that?
Go for it.
Okay, so I can give an input from my side. I think it's definitely a concern that there is a bias there. I think in general, what we see is that females tend to be slightly more healthcare seeking actually overall, but it's most pronounced in the mental health environment and with mental illness conditions specifically. So there is a possibility of bias or underreporting on the male side.
Yeah, good question. It's a good question to increase awareness. Got a second question here. Again, on the gender issue, females have higher prevalence of MH conditions, but if they have a lower chance of developing a MH conditions if they have diabetes, can we infer anything from this?
Do you mind re-explaining the question or just repeating the question?
Okay, I'll try.
thank you.
Is Stephen here?
Yeah, that was what I wanted.
Okay, do you want to ask the question?
Yeah. Can you guys hear?
Hello. Thanks for that. That was very interesting. My question was, in the earlier slides you showed the higher frequency of mental health conditions in females, and then the later slide, it looked like towards the end, there was the relativity for developing a mental health condition if you had diabetes to start with. I think that's almost your last slide. So I just wonder if there's anything we can infer from that. Is it, men seem to be more likely to develop a mental health condition if they have diabetes than females, I guess, was, top right there. Is there anything we can infer from that, learn from that?
Thanks, Stephen. So from the top right here, this is actually the relative cost impact for us as a health insurer of these lives developing a mental health condition. So we definitely see that the likelihood of a female having a mental health condition or reporting to us that they have a mental health condition is higher than a male. But when looking at that cost impact of a life developing a condition, we see males to be more costly essentially. This might be due to volume and data issues, which could be the case, or it might be due to the comorbidities that males might have more likely than females, such as a cardiac condition. But definitely females being more likely than males, but the cost impact of a male with diabetes developing a mental health condition is higher than that of a female with diabetes.
Happy with the answer? Okay. Is Ian Chan here? Yeah. Okay, it's probably better that you explain the question. Didn't quite follow.
Hi, thanks for that talk. So my question is just whether you think these findings between mental illness and diabetes, do you think that's generalizable to mental illness and the other major chronic conditions?
I'm happy to take this one. I think it's an area that we certainly want to explore further. And given the chronic nature of diabetes and the fact that it does have lifestyle implications in how one deals with the condition, we do think that certainly with the non-communicable diseases, there's likely to be a similar pattern emerging. We saw that certainly if you look even on this slide, where there's a cardiac condition involved, we're seeing slightly similar results without having gone into the depth as for diabetics. We do expect, though, for some other conditions, there might be differences because they affect different cohorts like asthma or some respiratory conditions. And then, of course, with oncology, we also expect that given it's such a significant life change and life impact, that it's likely to be more related to having oncology, not as much related to how one manages the oncology. So definitely areas for further exploration for us.
Okay. Is Poonam here? Yeah. I'll read your question. If I get it wrong, then correct me. So the question is, the mental health prevalence is 15% in non-diabetics and 18% in diabetics, which doesn't seem that different. So why were you looking into diabetics specifically?
I can answer this one. Thanks, Poonam, for the question. So I guess one of the main reasons that we focused or like zoomed in on the cohort that has both mental health and diabetes is that within this four horsemen slide, as we've shown here, of these different conditions, you can see that the segment that has diabetes and mental illness, we just compared these four segments and they overlap with mental illness. And we found that those with diabetes and a mental illness have the fastest growing healthcare spend over the period at about 16% every year. So that was one of the reasons for focusing on these overlaps. And also, as you can see, in the overlaps, a large proportion of these diabetic members with a mental illness also have a cardiac condition. And another reason that we focused on the overlap between these two conditions is that in Discovery Health Medical Scheme, we have disease management programs for these conditions that exist separately. So the mental health care program and the diabetes care program to help members to manage their condition. And we wanted to unpack the impact of these.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is also continuing this thinking. Anthony Asher asked the question, you do not mention obesity, which is apparently the major cause of diabetes and I imagine of mental illness. Have you looked at the impact of obesity?
I can try answer. So we haven't yet, particularly in this study. We do see one of the slides Catherine showed you on the Vitality Health Program, we do see lives who are more engaged with this program tend to be more physically active, and we've actually seen lower BMR as a result. So there is a correlation here, but we're busy looking into that causative link, specifically with physical activity and improving mental illness severity or the likelihood of mental illness. And we're also looking at BMR data.
Amazing. I think we're out of time here, so thank you. Great presentation and good questions.